Welcome, everybody. This is Studio 6 Media Productions. I'm your host, Jay Hill. Just kind of chilling out. It's a Thursday, so just trying to pick some music that'll work. Doing something a little bit different today, or tonight, I should say. Just trying to get comfortable here. Basically, just kind of want to just chat a little bit and talk about some things, paranormal, you know, world events type things. So let's get started. Actually, recently I read a book called "The Haunting of the 20th Century America." By William J. Burns and Joel Martin. It's a really good book. You should probably check it out. It's pretty thick. You can get it on Amazon. I picked this up at a bookstore near Milwaukee. So, yeah, check it out. It's got some really good, interesting stories. It's got different things in it about spiritualism and talking about the Nazis and the occult and some of that stuff. So, yeah, that's currently what I've been reading now, so I would highly recommend it. Other things, I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about what's been going on and current events around social media and the paranormal. Yeah, I'm really kind of not digging this whole thing of all this drama that everybody has got going on. And it wasn't like this, you know, 10 years ago. You know, I really, when I was, you know, on social media, you know, I've been on Facebook, you know, since the inception, which is like, what, 2008. And, excuse me, it started off, you know, everybody wanted to get to, you know, find their old friends and connect and this and that. And it was pretty cool, you know. And then later on, I basically got into, you know, different areas of groups and this and that. And, you know, what, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I got into I kind of opened that door to the paranormal. Which, by the way, the paranormal for me has been around for all my life, and I've experienced it firsthand. I mean, I've got some stories. I could probably share some stories tonight with you about that. But going back to Facebook, you know, it just really, for me, you know, I use the Facebook and social media, that platform, as a way to communicate with other people in the paranormal field and whatnot. And, you know, it's, in the beginning, it was really pretty cool. You know, it was really being able to, you know, connect with other people and talk with people and, you know, share the same likes and ideas and this and that. And then probably a couple of years ago, it just started getting really, it was kind of like high school, you know, and try to distance myself from it. But you, for some reason, because of the fact that I have quite a bit of a following on social media because of Studio 6 and my paranormal teams and the things that I'm involved in, I kind of always, you know, been very mindful of not getting involved in a lot of the drama and all this other stuff. And somehow I just eventually kind of got sucked into it. And as of late, it's really kind of been irritating me. You know, I try to stay away from a lot of that non-paranormal stuff. You know, I mean, I don't talk politics on my page or, you know, whatnot. And I learned the hard way with that years ago when I would, you know, mention anything political. I mean, it was almost like being, you know, like a witch in Salem. I mean, you would be like burned at the stake. I mean, seriously, it was so bad because you can't really have a good conversation between any two parties. I mean, the anger and the frustration and the difference of opinions and, you know, would come across as, you know, you're evil or you're evil or you're right, you're wrong. Or, you know, it's just, I got out of that a long time ago. I was like, yeah, I'm not, that's why I don't post anything political. And on a short comment, as far as the political spectrum right now for people, yeah, the world is really messed up. And, you know, I've experienced it. I've known a lot of people who have experienced it. And there's other people who have said that, you know, everything's fine. If that's what you believe, that's fine. You know, I'm not here to, you know, convince you otherwise, but I got out of that a long time ago. But yeah, there's some things that have been going on as of late that are really messed up. And just to be clear, just to clarify, I really hate election year. It's there's so much BS going around that I don't want anything to do with it, you know. And so I'll stick with spirits and ghosts and whatnot and spiritualism and mediumship and all that, you know. I'll stick with all that. But even as of late, there's been so many, like I said, drama, going back to the drama of the paranormal. You know, people, let's just all love each other, you know. Let's just, you know, we're out there to try to find the truth about certain things and trying to do research on locations and whatnot. I really would rather people focus on, you know, the positive side of things and try to, you know, finding out the truth of certain situations and investigations of haunted locations and, you know, even, you know, being a ghost hunter, you know, being a researcher, you know, that's just, we're just trying to find the answers and we want to be able to communicate with, you know, other entities. We want to, you know, ask them certain questions, you know, how did you get here, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and it's just like, let's just stick to what we know instead of, you know, going through the whole who did this or who does this or this person said this or, you know, they're faking evidence or this, you know, let's just get away from that. Get away from the whole aspect of the drama. I mean, this isn't high school, you know, this is real life. You know, I'm in my 50s and I don't have time to go back to high school to deal with all this drama, you know. But okay, so enough about that. Anyways, talking a little bit about some of the instances and things that happened to me in the paranormal field, I will give you a story that happened to me when I was in my 20s. And mind you, now I basically was trying to find my way, you know, through life and whatnot. And I really just, you know, I was in my 20s. I was still not really knowing where I was going. Sorry, I was drinking my coffee. So going back, I was in my 20s. I was, you know, newly divorced because I had gotten married when I was 20, had a beautiful daughter, Haley, who has now made me a grandfather, and I'm so happy for her. And, you know, so I, you know, recently divorced and, you know, working my way through certain things. And then I had met a woman that we kind of connected and eventually started dating, you know, again. And I started dating again, and then eventually we moved in together. Well, we were trying to find a place that was you know, more for more, it's like for two people instead of just having one, because she was living by herself. And we decided that, you know, if we were going to do this, we were going to try to find a place together that was bigger and had more room and whatnot. So I basically, we were searching at a place and we found a house in the small town. And it was weird. I mean, at that time, I really didn't realize, you know, I knew I had gifts and I knew I could sense things and see things and you know, receive frequencies and all that, the vibrations. And I've seen, when I was younger, I had seen a full body apparition and, you know, et cetera. And so I knew that that was part of my life, but I wasn't quite exploring it like I am today. You know, I basically just wanted to kind of, you know, enjoy life and, you know, try to find a path that I was comfortable on. And I was with this girl and, you know, we made it work. We were making it work and we found this place. Well, getting back to this place, this house was the only red house on the block of that I had seen. And it was kind of like that, you know, that like that barnyard red, that barn that you would see on a farm. And it was kind of weird. It was this town was really old. I won't say where it is, but it was a really old town. And, you know, it's in the Midwest. And this, when you walk up to the door, because it was the house was pretty big, but it was a two-part house where the owner lived in the downstairs, and then there were stairs that would go up on the out, kind of like outside, that was connected to the upstairs apartment. And when you get to the door to get to these back stairs, you know, what I could see was there was no doorbell or anything like that. But what they did have was an old chime bell, you know, back from way back in the day, because I knew this house was really old. And in order to get somebody's attention to, you know, ring the doorbell, supposedly, you know, it was, you had to turn this like a chime. It was really weird. And anyway, so, you know, we make our way up there and we're, you know, looking at this house or looking at this apartment. And I kept getting this weird feeling that somebody was watching me. And I kind of dismissed it because I get those feelings a lot. And now I realize now that, you know, there's more, I guess, truth to that feeling and that's sensing those vibes now, so more so than I did then. But anyways, I digress. So I was upstairs. I was in one of the rooms, and the girl I was with at the time, she was talking with another person downstairs. And it was basically this weird feeling of somebody really watching me and somebody really, like, intently. I could feel like somebody's eyes on me. And so I'm standing in this room and I started to get these visions of, like, blood on the wall or like there was some, there was like a child huddling in the closet and like fearing for her life. And I just, I kept getting these flashes and I was like, what is going on? And one of those instances, it was really like, I could feel that energy and that negative energy. I mean, I could feel like there was somebody standing behind me. Like I thought they were gonna, you know, take a swing at me or something. It was just really weird. So I exited that room quite quickly and went into another room, and basically, kind of got the same feeling. And through the whole time that I was touring this apartment, I had like somebody was following me around. And so, I was talking with, I actually called my sister, and who is a year older than me. And she has gifts too, even though she wouldn't like to, doesn't really like to admit it, but she does. And I really wanted her to come out and do a walkthrough of this apartment with me, because I wasn't sure if we were going to take it. And, you know, that was just one of those things that, you know, I kind of wanted a second opinion. You know, the whole time that the girl I was with, you know, really liked the apartment and she was kind of sold on it. And, you know, I was, you know, kind of trying to make her happy. But then again, I was still reserved because of these feelings and these things that I was sensing. And so, long story short, my sister wasn't able to come out, and so I had to kind of make a rush decision. So I basically just said, okay, yeah, told the lady that we'll take it. And we did. And we moved in about a week later, or a week or two later. And, you know, everything seemed okay. You know, I couldn't described, you know, I wasn't really in that frame of mind, or I wasn't really expecting anything, or I wasn't, you know, I was too busy with the move, and, you know, I was working and, you know, this and that. So those things that I expressed, or that I experienced, you know, a couple weeks or a week before, you know, they weren't in the front of my mind. They probably should have been, but they weren't. And so, you know, we move in and everything seems to be quiet, and I basically, you know, just, you know, would go there, you know, would go there every night after work, and, you know, nothing really major happened or whatever, and this and that. And then there was one time where she was out of town for work or something, and I don't remember what it was, because she traveled a little bit. And I was by myself. Well, still, you know, kind of having that whole sense of, yeah, this place is weird and I'm just going to have to get used to it aspect. I was sitting on a couch upstairs in the, which would have been the living room. And I'm sitting there watching TV, and there was a closet door, and behind me. And I swear it would open, but it never did. You know what I mean? I was waiting for it to open. I mean, I could just sense it behind me. And I think that there was one time where either I opened the door and left it open or something. I don't remember exactly what it was. It was a long time ago. But I, you know, watching TV, I felt somebody standing behind me. And I just was like, okay, did somebody come in the house or come upstairs or whatever? But I didn't hear anybody, but I was just like, but I knew it was, there was something there. And that's when I got that same feeling as when I was first looking at the apartment, where somebody was following me around, you know, watching me and like ready to pounce. And I kind of felt that way. So I basically just shrugged it off and, you know, did, you know, kept watching TV or whatever. And then I eventually went to bed and, you know, nothing major. Well, the next morning, I get up and I'm, you know, going to get ready for work and whatnot. And, where the door is to the downstairs, on the same wall, there's the door to the bathroom. Okay. So, if I'm in the bathroom, I can, and if somebody's coming up the stairs to the apartment, I can, and if I'm in the bathroom, I can hear them. I can hear the footsteps. So, you know, I get in the shower and I'm, and it's a small bathroom. I mean, you walk in, there's a shower there and then a sink and a toilet, and it's like an L shape, and it's really, it's very small. So, I was in the shower, and in the shower was clouded glass. So you could see something on the other side, but you can't see what it is because it's clouded glass. It's, you know, but so I'm, you know, doing my thing in the shower, which what how everybody else does, you know, wash my hair, whatever. And I saw the door open and I thought, oh, my girlfriend must have got home, not realizing that I wasn't putting two and two together that I should have heard the footsteps, but I didn't. I was too busy washing my hair, doing whatever. And I saw the silhouette walk into the bathroom. Well, I saw the door open. I saw the silhouette and automatically thought it was my girlfriend at the time. And I'm, you know, talking away, hey, how's your day and whatnot. And, you know, I saw the silhouette, you know, go around the side of the shower, like by the sink, and then I didn't pay attention, and then I couldn't see it anymore, you know, because it was out of my view. And but the door was still open, and so I was, you know, talking, and I didn't get anything back, but I just thought that she either didn't hear me or, you know, or something, I don't know. But then the silhouette left, the door closed, and then, you know, I just thought, okay, she doesn't want to say anything or she doesn't want to talk to me. I don't know, you know, maybe I'll have to find out what's going on after I get out of the shower. So I get out of the shower, dry off, whatever, and then I open the door to the kitchen because that's right, it was right off the kitchen. And I walk out and I'm calling out her name and I got nothing. I'm like, okay, and calling out her name again and nothing. And then I heard footsteps, faint footsteps, and then the door opened from the top of the stairs to get in the apartment, and my girlfriend at that time had walked through, and I'm like, oh, there you are. And she's like, oh yeah. And I said, why didn't you answer me when I was talking to you in the bathroom? And she's like, what are you talking about? I said, you came in the bathroom. I saw you walk in the bathroom, but I was talking to you, but you didn't say anything. She's like, Jay, I just got home. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah. She's like, I just pulled up. I just got home. I haven't been here. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that... that was quite weird in that sense, and I was kind of freaked out about that, but for some reason I wasn't really freaked out. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. And I told her what happened, and she's like, oh, you're making it up. I'm like, no, I'm serious. This is exactly what happened. And she kind of dismissed it, and I was like, yeah, forget you, lady. I'm not lying to you. So after that, not too much really happened. I mean, we were actually kind of on the outs. I mean, we started arguing more. I noticed that the air was thicker in the apartment, and I really I'd get angry really easy, and she would too. And I kind of just dismissed it. I wasn't really in the right frame of mind to really think about that. You know, I had my own things going on, and so I was just more focused with that. But all this stuff that happened in the apartment was more or less kind of like a side note, you know, extra things that happened. And so basically, you know, eventually we had, we were splitting up basically. And, I had basically been, I don't know, not that I was an atheist or anything like that, but I mean, I believed in God and I believed in, you know, Christ and all that stuff, you know, but I wasn't really, I was kind of like going against the grain on that. And I had some issues with, abuse and stuff like that, and like drugs and alcohol, and you know, and eventually, you know, during that time when we were living in this apartment, I basically had kind of, you know, I eventually came to the point in my life where I needed to do something, because I was going down a path that I really didn't need to go down, and it wasn't going to end well if I continued. So the day that I had accepted Christ in my life, and that I, you know, had, you know, said the prayer and truly accepted that, everything kind of changed. It was almost like somebody lifted a veil over, you know, off my eyes, off my head, and I could see things more clearly. And it was pretty surreal, you know. We continued after that, you know, things I thought was going to get better, but they really didn't. And I just was like, okay, it's time for me to move on from here. I was at the point in my life where it was a pivotal moment where I needed to, you know, go someplace else. I needed to start anew someplace else. And the relationship that me and this lady had, wasn't really that healthy. And I was just wanting to get away from it. Well, she was kind of still in that grr mode, you know, with me. But I mean, it was odd. Well, we weren't sleeping in the same bed, and then it was a 2-bedroom apartment. So I was, you know, sleeping in the other room, and this is one of the most pivotal moments in my life that I realized that there are other things out there that I can, or that we as a human cannot explain. Because I in a sense I could explain it, but then there's other times where I couldn't explain it. But at that moment when I was sleeping in the other room, and it was shortly after I had accepted Christ and I was starting to pray and I was starting to do other things that were, you know, God, you know, Christian like and this and that, things kind of got really weird at the apartment, because the energy shifted and it kind of got more aggressive, if that makes any sense. It was just one of those things where it was really weird. Different things I would catch out of the corner of my eye, different, you know, footsteps I would hear, or, you know, talking or whatnot. You know, I just couldn't put my finger on it. But at that time, I was still, at that moment, I was, you know, moving forward towards being more Christian-like, and, you know, trying not to think of the negative things, to be more positive and whatnot. Well, anyways, the one night after I had, you know, got home, and, you know, we had argued and things just didn't work, you know, weren't working right. And so I proceeded to sleep in the bedroom adjacent to that one. And it was just, I will never forget that whole time with her in that house. And it still kind of gives me chills just thinking about it, because I went to bed before that. I was praying and this and that, and I just kind of felt this weird feeling. And then I went to sleep and I could hear something, you know, it was an okay sized room, but where the bed was on the wall, it was facing the far end of the room where there was a closet. And I was laying there and I could hear something, and I was trying to figure out what the heck it was, because I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't know if it was some scratching or some talking or what, but it just felt really, it didn't feel good. Let's put it that way. I was getting kind of nervous, and I was like, you know, so I called out. I said, is somebody there? And at that time, that's when, you know, knowing my gifts now, I was kind of walking, you know, into that a little bit more with, you know, I knew that I could see and hear and sense things and this and that. So I was putting that gift into play at that moment. And I didn't quite hear anything after that, after I asked that, but then it was just, I would hear thumps and, you know, it was just really weird that I would hear these things. Well, she's asleep in the other room and the walls are pretty thick. So you really can't hear anything in the room behind it. She was sound asleep. Usually in like some of the houses nowadays, I mean, you could hear people snoring through the wall, you know, but this was an old house, so I can hear anything in her room. So I'm laying there. I go to sleep. And as God is my witness, I felt this heaviness on my chest. And I kind of, and I thought, you know, I don't know if I was dreaming or if I woke up, but I was laying there and I felt this presence and this sitting on my chest where I couldn't move. And I heard this voice, clear as day, in my face with a hot breath say, how could you do this to me? I own you. You're going to pay for this. And I was like, is this who I think it is? And I was terrified. Well, I was frozen in fear. Now, people, you could take that for what it is. I mean, people could say, oh, yeah, that's BS. That's just, you know, you're just making it up. You know, that's fine. You can take that in your opinion and do whatever you want with it. But I'm just telling you that this happened to me. And this entity was basically telling me what it was going to do to me. It also said that I'm going to take your firstborn son. I'm going to blah, 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 whatever, whatever. And at that time I was shaking and I was in fear. I could feel this presence on my chest, on me, sitting on me basically. And not knowing whether I was dreaming or I was awake, but I immediately got tossed on the floor, which either I fell out of bed or I, you know, I'm trying to be I'm trying to figure out if it happened or if I dreamt it, you know what I mean? So I'm still torn between that, but it felt as real as I'm sitting here telling you this story. So that was the first time that I was so afraid and so scared that I wanted my mother, which, and in that sense, I was terrified. I have never been that terrified in my life since then. And after that, after I had supposedly got it back into bed, and I was just, I huddled in the bed and under the blanket. You know, some people say, well, why didn't you run out of there? And it's like, I don't know. I don't know why I didn't run out of there. I don't know why, you know, it would be, it would make a normal person just be running out screaming, but for some reason I did not. And either this entity left or disappeared, or I just, maybe I was trying to rationalize it and thinking I was dreaming or that I had a nightmare or whatnot. And so maybe that's why I didn't, I don't know. But when I went to sleep, and I, the first time I supposedly went to sleep, I had a dream about losing a child. That scared me even more. Now, mind you, I only have one child, and that's a girl. I never had a son. So that, to me, it was bogus. You know, it was a bogus threat. You know what I mean? In that sense. And after that, I experienced that, and I woke up the next morning not realizing or knowing what the hell just happened. What happened last night? Was it real? Did I dream it? You know, did I imagine it? What? I couldn't put my finger on it. And so I chalked it up as in, I don't know. But it felt as real, like I said, as I'm sitting here telling you this story. So afterwards, you know, me and the girl that I was with, we had basically split, and I moved out. And shortly after that, I moved back into the city where I was living, and I moved in with my sister, and who was older. I have three sisters, so this was one that was like 9 years older than me. And we were working in a restaurant together. So, anyways, so probably, you know, a week after that, you know, I would be driving home from work, or I would be, you know, turning into the complex, the apartment where I was living in the city and whatnot. And I kept seeing out of the corner of my eye, I would see this kid or this guy or whatever sitting on the curb or a bench or something like that, wearing a hoodie. Couldn't see his face, but it was almost like, if anybody can remember that movie Flatliners with Kiefer Sutherland, and it had that kid where he would have flashbacks, or, you know, when he passed away or came back or whatever, that kid in the red sweatshirt, the hooded red sweatshirt, would terrorize him and this and that. It was kind of like what that reminded me of. And I would see like still images out of the corner of my eye. I could see him sitting there, you know, and then when I would go to look, he would be gone. And that went on after that event I had that bedroom, that thing that I had happened. Those visions, those out of the corner of my eye visions, happened for probably a good, I want to say, a month after that. So I don't know if there was something that was following me. I don't know what it was, but eventually it stopped, and then I didn't have that. And now, mind you, this happened when I was in my 20s. So this was a while ago. So after that, it was more or less, I would experience a little bit more weird things here and there as I got older, you know. And then, you know, life just happens, and, you know, you kind of forget about certain things and, you know, whatnot. And then inadvertently over the years, I would experience, you know, different weird, you know, things you couldn't explain. You know, it seemed to be every time that I would live, you know, move somewhere, it would be occupied. And occupied, as I mean, it would be haunted. There'd be something there that I would be able to sense, or, you know, maybe not so much see, but sense or hear. Every place I moved to, and I moved a lot. I mean, I just, I did, I, I, I could never just sit down in one spot. I'd always move to different places, different towns. You know, I had a lot of different jobs just because of the fact that I liked the experience of having multiple platforms to fall back on. You know, I did a lot of different things, out of jobs. Like, you know, I went from, you know, doing restaurant work to warehouse work to driving a fork truck to driving a flat truck. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, different things. And I wanted that experience. So I would always move around a lot, you know, and I was basically, you know, I was a loner quite a bit. I mean, I had, you know, other girlfriends, and I was married again, and that didn't last long either. And, you know, now I'm married a third time, you know, three times a charm. So I've had a lot of different experiences over the years. And then basically, you know, when I got to the point where this was more of a, I need to pay attention to this scenario than to ignore it, then yeah. So I did. I started paying more attention to it, and I started, you know, kind of logging in some of the things that happened to me, and, you know, and would remember that, you know. And so, yeah, it was just, it was one of those things where all the experiences that you have in your life, and the really prevalent ones that you remember, and some of the ones that, you know, really kind of moved you emotionally and spiritually, they stick with you. You know, I know that people out there that are listening to this can probably relate to that, that it, you know, those certain things, how small or how big they are, if they have a spiritual significance, they're going to stick with you. And there's a reason for that. Whatever reason that is, it's just for you, I guess. But there's a reason for it, you know? So I have other stories that I could continue to tell, and I may eventually do this again, you know, kind of keep this trend going a little bit, you know. I am working on a book. I'm probably going to put that story in there. So, you know, I'm a slow writer. I've been working on trying to put this book together for a few years now, but it's just like, you know what? I feel like just talking, you know, on this audio file and, you know, share a story or two or whatever. But, you know, I also want to say that, you know, by me telling this story, and it kind of releases some of that negative energy, or that, you know, being able to tell stories that have affected you, however negative or positive or whatever, but getting these stories out to people and for them to hear, maybe they can relate or maybe they can't relate, but maybe it's something that they will think about later. You know, I do believe that the power of the spoken word is an important to adhere to. And, you know, I really believe in that. And, you know, and when I go back to when I was talking earlier about, you know, the whole drama with the paranormal field and whatnot, you know, I still try to be as positive or as, you know, uplifted as I possibly can, you know. And I try not to, you know, allow myself to get caught up in some of the drama and some of the, you know, the he said, she said BS, you know. So, you know, be mindful of that, you know. If you've got a plan that you want to, you know, be a paranormal investigator or ghost hunter or whatever, you know, then strive for it. You know, if you want to be a medium, strive for it. You know, I believe in spiritualism. I believe in the spirit world, you know, and I believe in a lot of the things that, you know, make us up spiritually. And I try to, you know, share that with people. You know, I believe that people can do whatever they want to do, you know, and they have the wherewithal to do it. And, you know, if your forte is, you know, to be a ghost hunter, that's great. Then be a ghost hunter. You know, if you want to be a writer, be a writer. You know, if you want to mow lawns and you enjoy doing, you know, cutting grass and tending to flowers and doing that, then do that. You know, kind of follow your passion, you know, and don't let anybody tell you you can't do anything, because those type of people that tell you, oh, you can't do that, or, you know, you shouldn't do this, or it's this, you know, usually it's opinion based, and it's, or it's a jealousy base, or, you know, it's just a bully base. You know, I mean, don't let people bully you. Don't let people do all this stuff, you know, say all this stuff to you. If it's something that you believe in, then do it by all means. You know, the most of the people that I've talked to, even when I've done speaking events and talked to people afterwards, you know, they all want to know how I did, or how I did this, or how I did that. You know, it's like, you need a good support system. Surround yourself with people who are like-minded, or who are getting into it, or are willing to want to know more, you know, and having people in your family or your friends or whatever that are lifting you up and supporting you, you know, that's a key thing to have. Because if you don't have that support system, yeah, sure, you can do it by yourself, but having a support system makes it that much more enjoyable and that much more valuable to have, to be able to share that with other people. Saying, I had this person with me, and I give them credit because they helped me out a lot, you know. And, you know, you go through that whole thing of, you know, telling people that having a support system, and it doesn't necessarily even have to be about the paranormal or a mediumship or cutting grass or, you know, doing whatever, you know, a support system in lifting somebody up and doing something that they have a dream of doing is key, is important. And, you know, I try to let people know that I support them in whatever they want to do. You know, if you want to be an astronaut, by all means, you know, there is no limitations to what people can and can't do. You know, if you truly believe that you can do it, by all means, do it. You know, I mean, yeah, some things are going to be harder than others, but just the thought that you are attempting to do that is important. And having that support system around you is key. And I truly believe that. So, okay, folks, so that's about all I have tonight. So, I wanted to say thanks for listening. Yeah, I'm sure I've got some more stories I could probably share with you, and I probably will, you know. I may make this a regular thing where I can do it maybe once a week. You know, but I will always end my show with, believe in yourself. You can do this, and find yourself a support system of like-minded people that are willing to help you. If that's what you feel that you need, then do it. You know, I believe in you. I believe in myself, and always believe in yourself. I mean, that, you know, you got to, the first thing that you really need to adhere to is to be your own fan. Be a fan of yourself, you know, and that is also key. And, you know, if you can't love yourself, it's going to be hard to love somebody else. So continue to support yourself in that sense of be your own fan. You know, I'm a fan of myself. I don't always like myself, but that's, you know, neither here nor there. So thanks, everybody. Have a great night, or great day, I should say. And Godspeed. Hey,